Welcome, everyone. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This TNT open forum is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. This TNT net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your moderators for this session are Jim, KJ4WKD, who is located in Greensboro, North Carolina, and myself, Suzanne, N1SUZ, and I am located in Danbury, Connecticut. So let me start our TNT this evening. Tonight's TNT presentation is entitled Frugal Living. Since 2008, most of us have been forced into tightening our belts with our everyday living expenses. Therefore, we thought that we would bring to you some timely tips and ideas on how all of us can survive better and less expensively in these difficult times. So Jim, KJ4WKD, and I will be sharing some ideas that we have uncovered, and we are hoping that you will come in and share your own tips and ideas for the rest of us. This will be a rather informal TNT open forum, and the floor will always be open during the discussion tonight. I do want to thank Jim for suggesting this topic tonight, so let me bring him in for his first tip. Jim, KJ4WKD, come on aboard.
Well, thank you, Susie. KJ4WKD here. And I do appreciate your thanking me for the topic, and it is a timely topic, but that isn't important. I'm not the guy who does all the research on these topics that that we've done together. And nor am I the guy who books all of these ham radio celebrities that you've brought to TNT recently. I know you uncovered the original Elmer, and then you've brought Joe Garcia, the W1AW manager. And now I understand you've booked an interview with Fred Lloyd, the founder of QRZ. So I'm looking forward to that one. So, and I want to thank you personally for holding Star's TNT to such a high standard. And you continue to amaze me. So with that, let me go to my first money-saving tip, and then we'll open the floor for others. Now, I'm a bachelor, so I do my own laundry. Well, let me drop it for a second. Okay, there we go. And someone advised me recently that I should wash in cold water, and that most of the liquid detergents on sale today do work in cold water, so that's what I've been doing. And something I think you discovered, or you told me about in our notes, is that, 90% of the energy used for washing clothes goes to heat the water, and only about 10% of the energy goes to run the motor. So this could be 50 to 75% savings in energy over time. Most items, except for really dirty clothes, should be fine using the cold setting if you use liquid detergent. Normally, but if you do use powder, be sure and dissolve that in a little hot water, a little warm water rather. You don't need much. Just dissolve it before you put it into the wash, so it won't so you won't get those powders stuck to the clothing. So, Susie, that's my first tip. Let me open the forum by and ask for any additional tips and comments that we might have from anyone out there. The floor is open for any stations connected. KJ4WKD here.
WB2 Lima Oscar Uniform.
Okay, hearing WB2 Lima Oscar Uniform. Ted, go ahead, sir.
I'd like to ask this question because I firmly believe in what you just talked about with respect to using the cold water. So my question is this, would a commercial laundry do this? That is, would they use cold water? I ask that because we locally, we have a very large commercial laundry that uses recycled water from our sewage treatment plant. And I don't believe they use hot water. I think they use the water coming straight out of that pipe. Over.
You know, Ted, I bet they do. We've got some car washes around here that that use cold water, and it's recycled water. I don't know. I really don't know. That's often, or well, not as frequently as I used to, send shirts out to be laundered, and sometimes it's a little rough on your shirts. They do I don't know what they do, but they're the commercial laundries are seem to be a little rougher on your clothing. But I don't know. I really don't know. I've never asked, so maybe somebody else out there has an answer, Ted, or you can pick it up again, sir. KJ4WKD. Back to WB2LOU or anyone else.
Well, Jim, I'm not sure. I just when you made the comment, it just made me start thinking about that. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, because I know that the recycled water that comes out of our sewage plant, I don't remember the number of gallons that an hour that it recirculates, but I know that in the summertime, in the mid-summertime, they actually like to keep that water temperature down a little bit. And I'm thinking that that water temperature might be easily 75, maybe even 80 degrees. I guess I'm just going to have to ask some questions of some of our local people. This is a really interesting curiosity question. Over to you, Jim.
Hey, okay. You know what, Ted? I'm going to ask around here, too, because I'd never thought about it, really. But I would like to know. Now, I do know that quite a few of their laundries all over the place, dry cleaner laundry, and I don't think they do, many of them do their washing right there in the same building. I think they send them out to a big commercial laundry somewhere else, and I wouldn't know where that is, and I don't know if you know, the counter service people at these places would know that. But I'm certainly going to ask too, and I'm glad you brought it up. It's a good reason to have these nets. You know, we all learn something. And if we didn't learn the answer to that one tonight, we will sooner or later. So with that, let me open the floor once again before I turn it back to Susie and see if anybody else wants to come aboard.
Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
Well, the net recognizes George. Lima, Charlie, Bravo. Come aboard, Mr. George.
Well, good evening, Jim. Good evening, South Cars. I'm coming through RF, so there is a slight delay. Can't add too much about the water there, but I do remember the wash tub and the scrub board and the bar octane and soap. But you did mention powders there, and I don't know if this will come in later or not, but the trend is nowadays to basically keep the price in a fairly a decent range, but also they're cutting down on the size of the different boxes, how many ounces to the box there. And also on your register tapes there, especially on these sales, you know, you gotta watch them close, because they'll get you. So with that, we'll turn it back to you, KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, thanks, George. I knew you'd have something. and I appreciate it. Thank you for being there with us tonight. I was thinking you had an engagement tonight, but I'm glad you're out there. I remember, I don't remember the, well, I do remember the wash tub. So the there was a rinse tub, or a couple of rinse tubs. My grandmother had one of those old wringer washing machines, and of course there was always powder back then. And even back then, you got premiums. You got maybe a coffee cup or a teacup or something in that box. You know, and that doesn't happen anymore. And the product sizes, they've been doing that for years on a lot of products. I remember when coffee was a pound. Now it's, I think it was 13 ounces, 12 ounces, and I think I've seen 11 and a half ounces recently. Candy bars, you know, when sugar jumped sky high back 20 or 30 years ago, the size of candy bars got smaller. And they never brought them back to the original size again, although they do have the super size, which, of course, they cost three times as much or four or five times as much. So a lot of products like that, George. And thank you, sir. We could reminisce about the old days and washing clothes yeah, just separately, couldn't we? Oh, and another thing, by the way, I had a recipe, well, a formula, for to make your own detergent, and it would be a liquid, but it seemed so difficult and messy. I've never tried it, but we could have brought it aboard tonight, and I didn't think about it in time. But some people are doing that. You know, you make about 5 gallons at a time and have it on hand. So, well, thanks, George. Let me open it up once more, see if there are any more comments from you, sir, or Ted, or anyone else, and then we'll turn it back to Susie, because I'm having to do all the talking tonight.
Romeo, Romeo, November.
Hey, Dennis, why don't you come aboard with us, sir? This is KJ4WKD to KB9RRN.
Now, good evening, Jim. Good evening, South Cars. Dennis here, KB9RRN, portable in Greenwood, Indiana. Along the lines of washing, this is something I did today, as a matter of fact. If you have the facilities and you can line dry your clothes, when it's nice out, obviously. I've been doing that a lot here recently, just to save a couple bucks on electricity, because my dryer's electric. Or if you've got a gas dryer, same thing. Energy's not cheap, and the more money you can save, the better. So, just something to think about. I know there's a lot of neighborhoods and stuff don't allow clotheslines anymore, but I live out in the county, so I don't have that problem. We'll turn it back to you, Jim. We'll be listening. KJ4WKD, KB9RR.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis. Yeah, clotheslines are, notice they're coming back into fashion. I do have one in my backyard that's got some sagging lines on it, and it gets used from time to time, especially heavy things like rugs, throw rugs, that sort of thing. Put those out there, and it takes forever in the dryer, and I have an electric dryer as well. So good tip, sir. Thank you. And with that, I will send it back to the real NCS for tonight, and maybe she can open it back up for more comments. And we really appreciate all of the participation tonight so far. Thanks, guys. KJ4WKD, back to N1SUZ, Susie.
Hello, this is N1SUZ. Thanks, Jim, and thanks, Lou, George, and Dennis for coming aboard with some tips for us. And yep, the first tip out there with laundry is amazing. And I think those commercial places do use cold water. I have a funny feeling that is, but our place down here uses recycled water to our big plant down here. So anyway, with that said, let's go on to our next tip. We're going to step away from the laundry and we're going to look at food a little bit. And our next tip is about growing your own food. Gardens, vegetables such as tomatoes, lettuce, zucchini, and even pole beans can grow in patio containers if you simply don't have a plot of land. If you do have a little plot of land, plant away, because there are plenty of vegetables and fruits that can be grown at home, save you money at the grocery store, and you can harvest those yourself. They require little more than a watchful eye and watering. And if you've ever tasted one, you know there's nothing quite like the flavor of a homegrown tomato. Lots of money can be saved at the grocery store by just planting your own food. And if you have more than enough, you can freeze it and can what you don't eat in the future. And by the way, next Thursday's TNT, we'll be talking about canning and how to do it because Sarah KC4TXG is going to come aboard and tell us how we can can. So with that, let me see if there's any comments about growing your own food. Come aboard if you have any comments. All right, there you go. Now let me send it back over to you, Jim. KJ4WKD, this is N1SUZ. Take it away with our next tip.
Lima Oscar Uniform.
All right, Ted, Lima Oscar Uniform, come on aboard.
Yeah, I'm sorry to kind of interrupt this a little bit, but these sort of things bother me. not in a negative way, but in a positive way. And I just want to say this. What I've noticed is that locally here in central Pennsylvania, we seem to see very large increase, I'll call it almost a surge, of farmers and I'll say families, if you will, that are offering homegrown vegetables and food and that sort of thing at roadside stands along a number of our back roads. I've also noticed that in our grocery stores, keep in mind now, this is a very large university town. That is to say, we have 46,000 students on campus and another 50,000 or so permanent residents. Our grocery stores have sections now that have food canning items, the jars, the lids, the seals, and the manuals, and the books, and all of the additives and preservative stuff that's used. And I've seen this really increase quite a bit over the past year. And I just think that this whole thing is kind of an indication of our economic times. And maybe we need to start getting back to the future, if you know what I'm saying. WB12EU.
Well, you're absolutely right, Ted. I think we need to get back to our roots a little bit. And it is a sign of the times. I know in our town, in Danbury, we have two farmers markets. And it's amazing the types of foods that the farmers are growing and bringing in. And these farmers aren't just coming from around the corner. Some of them are driving quite a ways to get to our farmers markets. And, yeah, there's a lot of roadside stands selling eggs. People are really getting back to the basics. And yes, I've noticed a lot of those canning supplies in the stores, too, because I think the grocery stores want to make sure they get a little bit of that income from people going back to the basics. But I also noticed that, and it is a sign of the times. And we have to do that because, basically, food is starting to get pretty expensive, and we can cut our grocery bills just a little bit by growing our own food, which is probably better than some of the food that we get in the grocery stores. But thanks, Ted, for coming aboard with that comment. And let me open it to the floor one more time, see if anybody else has any other comments.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Oh, good evening, George. George, come on aboard.
Well, good evening, Sue. I'd like to add about, you know, gardening there. There's such a thing what they call companion gardening, where different plants do well, grow with one another. I used to grow beans on my corn, you know. Once the corn started getting up, then I planted beans, so they would ride up the corn, and that saved happening to run a trellis-like or a string. And also, you know, I like to grow organically. I'd be careful of the different farmers. I try to find out what type of pesticides they're using and all. And I know a lot of these imported stuff, you know, is very contaminated with chemicals. So I check it out before you purchase. The web is an excellent place for your information. Rondell Press, been around for years. A whole bunch of good ideas to make the backyard or the patio garden such a lovely a place to do. And one of the byproducts is it's a stress reliever. You know, you could kick back and really enjoy what you're doing. Keeps you out of the doctor's office. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, back to N1 SUZ.
Lima Oscar Uniform with a question to George.
Go right ahead, Ted.
George, that idea of the growing the beans with the corn is kind of very interesting. I think what you were describing was that the beans would then be planted and they would like grow up around the corn stalk. Is that right? And would that be something like a pole bean? Over.
Well, Ted, KW4, Lima Charlie Bravo, back to you. When I was in North Carolina, I grew what they call white corn. Some of it was 100 years old, the generation. And, once your corn would get up and start putting feeder roots down, we'd go ahead and plant the beans beside it. And as they grow and they put out their little vines, you know, they'd start climbing up it. Now, some of this corn will get, you know, 6, 7, 8 feet tall, you know, so it's pretty stout there. And usually when it starts putting those feeder roots out, that's when I'd go use a little bit of ammonia nitrate, you know, that gift that the chickens leave behind, the droppings, you know. I used to shovel that up and throw it in a barrel and mix water in there, and I'd take me a little cup and just make a circle around it there, and I tell you what, it sure bring that corn and make them beans grow. And we grew back. I was partial to what they call white half runners. I'm quite sure Jim from North Carolina area there, and that was a pretty favorite bean, you know, in that part of the country. And butter beans, or you know, just most any bean, you know, will that climbs will ride that corn there. The only problem you might have is if you got a real strong wind, you know, coming through there, and that's going to lay the corn down anyway. So, you know, but nevertheless, you always got more than you put into it. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Okay, thank you so much, George, and thanks for bringing up that question, Ted, because I was really interested in the companion gardening, too. I've always heard that you can garden things afterwards with the nutrients that match what you've previously put in the soil, and that's a good way to have your garden extend its life. But never thought of the companion gardening. That's great. And and George, before you leave, are there any other plants that you put together like that besides the beans and the corn?
Well, you know, Sue, you can grow cucumbers on trellises, and you know, all right there together. Any climbing stuff, you know, you can come up with different ways. Onions, you very seldom ever see a bug around an onion. You know, you can plant onions in between, you know, just to ward off. See, most of the bugs is drawn by scent. And that's one scent that they don't like to be around. So, you know, just a tip from way back.
Well, thank you, George. And that's the kind of tips we need from the way back, because I think we've forgotten some of those tips in our modern gardening facilities, and especially when it comes to pesticides, because that seems to be one way of making sure that you eat properly, grow your own food so you don't have pesticides on it. And that's why I like organic foods whenever I can buy them. But the onions, that's a great idea. That's a great tip in order to ward off some of those bugs so you don't have to use anything on your plants. But thank you very much for sharing that. And there we go. Grow your own vegetables. And lots of good tips there. So let me send it back over to Jim. And maybe he's got some comments on those pole beans too, George. So Jim, KJ4WKD, come on aboard.
Lima Oscar Uniform with another comment.
Oh, go right ahead, Ted.
Sorry, but this is really intriguing to me personally. I find it very, very interesting. And I think I'm missing something here. And George, from what you said earlier, I'm going to have to get some chickens. I'm going to have to get some chickens.
Well, I hear you, Ted. I have chickens out here. They're droppings. That's some of the best fertilizer that you could ever get hold to. It's actually ammonia nitrate. Years ago, a lot of people would call it a sody, for the old timer's sake, a little bit of sody there. And especially when the corn, like I said, has feeder roots, usually about 6 to 8 inches up from the stalk those roots go down, so it stabilizes the stalk because the ears of corn, and like I said, the ears of corn alone would get 12, 14 inches along, so, you know, and maybe an inch and a half to inch and a quarter around there. So, but if you feed it too much, it gets brittle. And, you know, time, trial and error, you know, will help you along the way. But there's all kind of little things that you can do. The best thing I can say is get with somebody, an older person that has been doing it in that area before time sped up. And I'm quite sure they could steer you straight there. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, George, I'll tell you what you just reminded me to do. When I get ready to do this next early spring, I'll do it before that. I think I'm going to go visit some Amish farmers of our area. I'll bet they have those secrets figured out. And I'm going to make a note of that right now. Thanks, George. This is WB Tolio.
Oh, very good, George and Ted. And yes, chickens have been close to my heart as of late too. I've been trying to figure out how to get those chickens in Connecticut in my yard, but have to work around the pet farm animal problem. But there's another reason why I need chickens, because of that good ammonium nitrate, and I could use that for a garden. So that's a great tip. All right. Let me open it up one more time before I send it back to Jim, see if anyone else has any comments. This is N1SUZ. All right. And no one making any more comments. And anyone who wants to jump aboard and make any comments, there's no problems. We're just moving the net along a little bit here because we didn't hear any comments. So anybody who wants to make a comment, feel free to just jump in when you want to, and we'll answer any questions or we'll talk about whatever's on the board. So. For now, let me send it back over to you, Jim.
Thanks again, Susie. Great comments tonight, and I wanted to ask George, and maybe you can come in a little later and tell me. I've always grown beans, and I think most beans do run, most of the ones I'm familiar with. They are runners. They're vines, more or less. And I've always grown those on strings. If you think of the way grapes are grown, it's something like that. And then and they go pretty high. You might have to put up a couple of three levels of string. Of course, you have standards or poles in between, and the beans run up there. But I was wondering about, I've grown okra. yes, I've grown okra. And they have pretty tall stalks and pretty sturdy stalks. I wonder if George has ever put beans with, and it crossed my mind. I wonder if beans would run up okra without bothering the okra plant itself, or would they be compatible? I don't know. And we don't have a lot of wind to lay things down here, so generally the okra will stand all season. So I was thinking about that. They get pretty high. And I think that marigolds and sunflowers also ward off bugs. I'm not sure. I don't know too much about that, but I'm told to plant those in the garden as a natural pest deterrent. But I'll move along, too. This is KJ4 WKD. And still on food, but let's talk about buying groceries when we have to buy them. The farmer's market. Now, if you don't have a garden, you can get a lot of good deals at harvest time this time of the year at the farmer's market locally. And you could can those and freeze those. You don't have to grow them yourself. You can save a lot of money there and keep those for the winter. But shopping to groceries. Cut coupons. Now, I don't do a lot of this, but I should, I guess. Cut coupons and look for rebates. Combine manufacturers' coupons with store coupons or sales. For example, my favorite store here in town has triple coupons for this week only, and that's up to 99 cents. So if I had some coupons, if I'd save some of the coupons that come in the mail and that I send to the recycling bin, then maybe I could save a little money this week. But there are blogs that list matches between sales and grocery weekly sales and coupons too. Buy store brands are generic. You can easily save 25% on generic brands. And, you know, what I found is that a lot of these generic house brands, as we call them, they're made by the same people that make your well-known name brands. They're just a private label for the store. So, and they're frequently, or most of the time, 20, 25, even 30% cheaper. So, and they're the same product. Stock up on staples when they're on sale. Go shopping with a list, and don't deviate from that list. That's one of my faults. And I'm also told don't go hungry. Don't ever go buy groceries when you're hungry, because your shopping carriage will get really filled up. We call it. this shopping carriage is a new word for me. We call them buggies here. And buy ingredients and don't buy packaged prepared meals.
Okay, this is N1SUZ. Jim, you're timed out, so wait a few seconds here, and hopefully you'll get back in there, because we want to hear those grocery tips. So let me send it back to you and see if you can get on board. This is N1SUZ. All right, let me pick it up here, and Jim, hopefully you'll be able to come back on board. Okay, as Jim said, don't shop hungry, and we want to buy things on a full stomach. But also, you want to make sure that you're buying the ingredients and not those prepared meals. It's better for you, and it's also going to cost you less in the long run, too. Just buy the ingredients, not the prepared meals. But also something that you should keep in mind is buying seasonally and save money that way. October, I've already seen it in my grocery store. October is when you'll see apples in season along with broccoli, spinach, and winter squash is out already too. Look for sales in grocery stores and department stores too. Walmart and Walgreens, places like that will have some of the staples that you need. Another tip is to reuse your plastic grocery bags for garbage bags or lunch bags or whatnot. And those are really great tips for in your grocery store. And let me send it back to Jim. I think you're not timed out anymore, and maybe you can offer a few more comments on that. Jim, are you all set? This is N1SUZ.
Well, if I timed out, I wasn't aware of it, but I did hear you finishing up for me. And I can't get through a net, Susie, without some audio problems. So there we go. You have a copy on me now?
I have a great copy on you, Jim. You're sounding okay. I don't know why you timed out. I don't think it was that long, but you go ahead and share any more comments about that.
Well, I don't know how much I got in. My first comments were about the okra stalks, and if I was timed out in the middle of that, I'm sure that George heard that one and others heard it. So I'll open the floor back up before I go to another tip and see if anyone wants to come aboard with any further comments on what you and I just covered just then and anything else that we covered earlier. KJ4WKD here.
Lima, Charlie Barlow with a comment.
Go ahead with your comment, George.
Well, I don't want to monopolize this, so you just tell me stop floating my lips and be more than happy to Jim, to get back to your okra there. I never food with okra too much. Don't like it. So I've never messed with it. So I can't address that. But as far as coupons, it's been on the national news here these past few days where people is using multiple coupons there, and it's causing a problem. But what I will say about coupons and sale items, and you know, some of these stores nowadays has a card that you swipe to get the items on sale. The tip about the card is don't let them swipe the card until everything is rang up. That way all your discounts will be on the end of the receipt. And as you, boy, they hate to see Katie come, you know, because she don't miss a chance. If they don't give her something on sale or charge her the regular price, she's right back at it. But if you wait to the last to swipe that card, then it will show you all your discounted items at the end of your receipt there. So you know, that will help you kind of keep up with it. And as far as major brands and store-bought brands, as long as you keep in mind, you know, there is a product standard that everyone has to meet or it won't be allowed on the shelf. So you know, that could help you decide about you know, store brands or other high price brands, and they all have to meet that standard or they wouldn't be able to be on the shelves. With that, we'll throw it back to you, KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Thanks, George. I'm sorry you don't like okra. I sure do, and I know a lot of people either like it or you really despise it. And a lot of people say, well, it's slimy. Well, I fry mine, so. But well, I'll try the beans on the okra just for an experiment next time. I haven't gardened in a couple of years, but I do like this organic garden as well. On those store brands, and one reason I haven't used coupons in the past, just straight coupons without any further multipliers, is because I find that the some of the house brands that I like are still cheaper than using a coupon with the name brands. And it's usually the coupons you get are name brands because they want you to try it. And let me drop it a second. Okay, I'm trying not to time out again. With that, I'll open it back up for any further comments. KJ4WKD here.
WB to all of you.
Go ahead, Ted. And by the way, you guys, we don't have a big crowd tonight, so nobody's monopolizing the net. Speak your mind, share your tips, whatever, because it's appreciated. Go ahead, Ted.
Oh, okay, Jim, thanks. I need to ask a question. This may not be in the appropriate time. but certainly in topic. And it occurred to me when we've been talking about the corn and the peas and, or I'm sorry, the beans and the okra and that stuff, I got to thinking that I remember that a lot of the seeds that you can buy today are what I would call a one-time use seed. That is, you plant the seed, you grow and you benefit from the results with the vegetables or whatever it is, the corn or the beans or peas or whatever. But you can't take those seeds from those products and replant them. It seems to me that I've understood that the seeds you buy today have been genetically engineered to reproduce only once. So how do we reproduce that nice, delicious white corn or those great string beans that we like or those delicious sweet peas?
Well, Ted, it could get a little political, but there is one company doing that, and I guess their intent is to monopolize the seed market. But what you do, go online and look for heritage seeds. Now, is that the right word, heritage? I think that's the wrong word, but maybe Susie knows. You can continue to get the seeds, and these are seeds that have been saved and re-propagated over and over throughout many, many decades, going back sometimes hundreds of years. And they still exist, but you have to seek them out. And it's not a good thing when they do that to our seeds, but it just takes knowing where to look, and usually you can go online and find those. So, and I had a couple of websites myself where I had bookmarked at one point to buy. I'm not sure it's heritage seeds, but somebody correct me on that one. But it's a word that that identifies the seeds that will reproduce the following year. So let me drop it a second. Any further comments?
Sierra United Zulu.
Go ahead, Susie. I bet you've got the correct word on those seeds for me.
Yes, I do. You can call them heritage seeds, but I believe the correct terminology is heirloom seeds. And there's some places that actually deal with them only. So, those heirloom seeds. And it's a great comment, Ted, because I was thinking that myself as I was going talking about those vegetables, because we should keep our heirloom seeds. But these genetically engineered seeds are not good for us, and in the long run, we're going to suffer because of it, I think. But heirloom seeds. Back to you, Jim.
Thank you. I knew you'd bail me out as usual. Heirloom seeds. You're right. You're absolutely right. And Ted, that's what to look for online. And I've saved seeds from squash and okra from one year to the next, and they planted and germinated just fine. And I was lucky in those cases. But more and more, if you go to the stores, the commercial stores, and get your seeds, you're going to get genetically modified seeds. Anything else from anyone else? And I believe that the next topic is actually Susie's, since she wrapped up mine, my previous one. So in order not to get out of order, we'll be sending it back to Susie. But before that, any other comments from the floor? Okay, hearing none, KJ4, WKD, back to N1SQZ, Susie.
Well, thanks very much, Jim, and thanks for another great topic that we covered. Now, before we skirt off a little bit here, you mentioned clipping coupons, and another thing that people should notice are blogs. A lot of us spend a lot of time online, and there are blogs that will show you the coupons that are available in your local newspapers and match them up to the sale items. And whenever you're shopping, you should go to these blogs ahead of time. And not just shopping for groceries either. There are blogs and websites that will match the coupons for you so you know how much you can save and practically get some of this stuff for free. But also for anything else you're shopping for, big ticket items, clothes, mulch, anything, you should always check out the coupon blogs for the printable coupons and take those with it. And I'm going to list in the text box here some of the blogs that I've gone to and used for that particular purpose. But and another thing is on the back of your grocery receipts, you also have coupons for pizzas and other services from around the area that the local retailers advertise. So you should always look on the back of your receipts from your grocery store thing. I'm listening to the blogs, and let me open up for comments if anybody else who clips coupons that way or finds anything online. Anybody out there have any comments about blogs and coupons? Okay, nothing heard. Let's move on a little bit. Some of the other tips, and we're getting out of food and vegetable gardens and groceries, but there are other things that we do. Do you watch movies? Do you read books? Do you listen to music? Well, what you should do is make friends with your library. Your local library, you can enjoy movies for free, enjoy brand new books for free, and you can even check out music CDs. All libraries have books, of course, to check out, but they also usually carry DVDs, Blu-rays, and even CDs nowadays that you can borrow and enjoy without having to go out and buy them. Another idea for movie lovers is Redbox. They have $1 movie rentals and are available in kiosks conveniently located, usually in your grocery stores or your local Walmart. I know I've gone there and gotten first-rate, first-come-out movies, and it's great. And if you get on their mailing list, Redbox, they'll notify you of what's new, and you can get free movies from them, too, just by signing up on their email list. Now, let me open it up to anybody who'd like to make any additional comments on retail savings.
Lima Oscar Uniform.
Very good. Ted, come on aboard.
Yeah, I was very surprised a few days ago to learn that our local county-wide library system has now set up a system where if you have a registered library card, you can download at no cost music. You can actually download, or I'm not sure the correct terminology, but you can actually stream a movie, a video. You can actually watch the movie online through their system. It's not going to be a current movie necessarily, I don't think, but it's possible to do it. And I was absolutely surprised that they were offering that service. And all you had to do is you have to go to the library or go to one of the library outlets in our county and acquire a library card with a registration number. And that gives you that access. And I'm wondering, are other counties, other states doing this kind of thing? Are they making that kind of information or service available to its citizens? Over to you, Susie. Thank you. N1SUZ, WB2LU.
Well, thanks, Ted, for pointing that out. Yes, you know, libraries are really a forgotten resource for all these kind of things. My library does that as well. I can download music, and I can stream videos, too, and I can do that from the comfort of my home as well, because as long as I have my card, I can enter that in online and have those feed me through right there. But, an important thing is to remember about your library is the numbers count. They're funded, normally, libraries are funded by the city, and they're funded, and people are paying attention to how many people come through those doors. My library is very aware of that, and we try to have regular customers come in so that the city sees that people are using the library, because if we're not using the library, there's no reason to fund it for all these interesting things. And not only does the library have music and books and Blu-rays, but also a lot of other fun things. We have Rosetta Stone available, so we can learn languages online for free. And we can also do our lookups for our genealogy as well at the library for free, which is normally a big cost if you ever do any genealogy. So thanks, Ted, for doing that. And anybody else have any comments about their libraries? And do they know whether or not their library has those services as well? Come on aboard.
KJ4WKD.
Well, KJ4WKD, come on aboard.
Well, I have a question, and I thought you told me that you don't have to be in the same town with the library. You can join a library, especially a large one in a large city, remotely. And can you shed some light on that, KJ4WKD here?
Well, yes, I can, Jim. This is N1SUZ. If you have an e-reader and read books electronically, you can join a big library from another town, pay a service fee, and be able to download and read books from that library. A lot of this stuff is done online these days, movies, CDs, and all this other kind of stuff. And that's one thing that you can do remotely. I have a Philadelphia library card, not because I'm from Philadelphia, but because I paid a fee so that I could use the Philadelphia library online. And I listen to audiobooks that I download from them, and I listen to other books. And I can also actually stream movies from them, too. So there are a lot of resources that these libraries have. And yes, you do not have to be in the town that the library is. There's lots of places and lots of libraries that will let you join their section, you know, so that you can access their library. And that the money that you pay to that library helps them exist in these hard times. So I hope that answers your question, Jim. Let me know if it did. This is N1SUZ.
Well, it certainly did, and I thank you for that. And I will let you continue. You're doing a great job. KJ4WKD. Back to N1SUZ. Thank you.
Well, before I go on with some more frugal tips, let me open it up to the floor again if anybody has any comments. This is N1SUZ, and any comments, come aboard.
Lima Oscar Uniform.
Oh, come on ahead, Ted.
Yeah, I find this stuff absolutely mind-grabbing. What you were just talking about, I think, is an indication of the technology that that the people are going to be facing in the very near future, if not tomorrow. If you go to, say, Best Buy or some other large electronic dealer, the new high-definition D-sets have internet capability. And what I think that's leading to is the ability to download or stream these videos and these movies from these sources, like libraries, if you will. And it's going to come to the point that we're not going to need satellite TV to watch a movie anymore. We're not even going to need to go to that store or the kiosk out at supermarket or at Walmart. It's going to be right there on your screen if you punch the right button. N1SUZ, WB2LU.
Well, you're absolutely right, Ted. I think things are changing so that we're not even going to have to leave the house for almost everything. Heck, you can have groceries delivered to your door now. But yes, technology is advancing to the point where all of this is going to be available to us at the touch of a button. And already you can rent movies online through your television and sit down and watch them without much of a problem. But yeah, thanks for that comment. And let me go ahead and open the floor to see if there's any other comments.
Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
Well, very good, George. Welcome aboard. Come on aboard.
Well, Sue, just last week I called the cable company and had them disconnect my TV cable there. We never did buy the paid review, the different premium type channels there. But I went ahead and ordered another outside antenna, which works just fine. I mean, it has programmed 39 channels in, which is more than I could watch one at a time there. But you can go online and download different models. I looked at one. It took six coat hangers to make there, and you can do it that way there. And I also can, on my laptop, with a Cat 9, plug my laptop right into my computer there, and you know, download different programs or different movies right from my laptop and enjoy them right on the TV. So, like you said, the technology's there, and it's not expensive to build your own HD and digital antenna there. Like I said, if you want to get by, you could build one for less than $5. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, George, you really got me going there with those six coat hangers for an antenna. That sounds really interesting, and especially from the guy who builds those big towers. And that sounds like it could be a net in itself, talking about those coat hangers. But, yeah, you know, I don't generally watch a lot of cable. I have it, but I don't really watch normal television. I watch some of the, you know, premium channels like Discovery and the History Channel, but I really don't need my cable system either. I need the internet because I'm on there a lot, but cable system, don't really need. That's something we could save money on probably. But yeah, and there's all sorts of internet sites available so that if you do watch primetime television, you can actually just go online and watch whatever shows you want to. Hulu, I think it's HULU.com, is a site that has primetime television episodes on it, so you don't really need to have your cable system hooked up for that. But that's a great tip. Thank you very much, George, for sharing that with us. And let me open it up to see if anybody else has any tips or comments about anything we've talked about or anything that you want to talk about. This is N1SUZ. All right, let me move along a little. Let's take a different direction in our frugal living. How about making your own cleaners? Okay, let's save money by not buying those commercial cleaners, because white vinegar works wonders, and it's inexpensive, it contains no harsh chemicals, and it's safe for most surfaces. So that's usually what I use to clean a lot of stuff in my household. It's an all-purpose cleaner. What you need to do is just mix equal parts of white vinegar and water. Put it in a spray bottle, shake it up, and you're good to go. The acetic acid in vinegar kills viruses, germs, bacteria, and mold. It also dissolves tough mineral deposits that you can find in your sinks and tubs. But don't use it on marble. I made that mistake myself. Always test the small area before using on finished wood surfaces as well, or on tile, because sometimes they're finished differently. But white vinegar alone can clean stainless steel appliances great, and white vinegar can also help in the laundry as a stain remover. Just saturate stain with the vinegar, let stand a while, and then wash. To remove grass stains, you can make a paste out of white vinegar and baking soda. There are a lot of things that we can do with the stuff that we have on hand that's cheap and inexpensive. Even toothpaste can polish your silverware. So we all have to look for all that so that we can save a little money. And I see that George also lists lime juices and sand. So let me throw it back to George's direction, and maybe he can add some comments here to help us all out. George, KW4, Lima Charlie Bravo, can you come aboard and share that with us?
Well, Susie, Ted, I'm glad you was with us there. I noticed the text you got to scoop, but enjoyed you being here. Yeah, we've been using lime juice for years there, you know, to clean the countertops with, and it gets those deep stains, and also have used a sand, especially when you have any type of mold buildup or any, I use it especially outside in the horses' water tubs there. You know, if they look like they're getting some green on them, I just dump the water out and grab the sand and just go around and around it. You know, it's abrasive. But tile floor, you know, you could you can clean tile floor. Years ago, you know, a lot of things was cleaned with sand. Especially bowling alleys. If you remember the sandy stuff that was on the floor and all, a lot of that was used to make the ball go down the alley, and also it was used for cleaning. So, like you said there, we're in a time warp, you know. We need to get back with the older generation and have a talk with them, and I'm quite sure they wouldn't mind find a nursing home to go visit and just talk to them about yesterday year, and we can learn a whole bunch from I've learned quite a bit myself spending the time with elderly people and just listening to some of the stories there. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, you're absolutely right, George. We should be talking to our older generation about all this. It's amazing that we were able to live and clean and survive without all these chemicals and all these newfangled things that we have here. But yes, we need to not forget some of the old ways of doing things. And I know I've heard those tales from my father, whose father was a farmer, and on the farm, the things that they did to clean and get things going there. But thanks for coming aboard, and didn't mean to put you on the spot, but I thought it was really interesting about the lime juice, because I had never used lime juice before, and sand makes a lot of sense to me too. So let me break with you, and let me throw it back out there to anybody out there who'd like to make any more comments, and before we move along. Okay, so we're going to move around to a different subject a little bit, and then I'll send it back to Jim. In yet another frugal direction, let's talk about other ways to save some money. How about switching to online bill payments? You can save on stamps. I thought I'd throw that comment in before I send it back to you, Jim. Although we should support our local post offices, shouldn't we? But let me hand our program back to Jim, KJ4WKD. Jim, can you share some more frugal living tips? This is N1SUZ.
Thanks, Susie. KJ4WKD here. You got me laughing a little bit. It's hard to believe that you would throw out that tip on saving money by going to online bill payment and not buying stamps. Boy, you must be really frugal. That's your livelihood. And yeah, I understand. I support the post office too, especially with QSL cards. So, I try. I do pay a few things online, though. So it's just convenience, but mostly convenience. So, and thanks for that one. But we'll move on and just put out a few more at random. We're into the second hour, and we'll start winding down. But let's just hit a few more highlights, some other ideas, and some of these things I do already. Some of them not, and some of them I'll take up later. One would be wash dishes by hand instead of the dishwasher. You save money on dishwasher detergent and, of course, electricity and probably water. So I don't like dishwashers. You got to wash the dishes first anyway. And they're just storage for your dishes to me. I don't even have one anymore. I did have one. There's a few things that I don't, a few modern conveniences that I don't see any point in having. And dishwashers is one of them. Bundle services and save money. That would be go to loweryourbills.com, by the way. That's another website, lowermybills.com. And examples about bundling would be cable services, if you use cable, and internet and phone services. Most of the phone companies have internet, and they also have, they're usually hooked up with one of the satellite services for television, so sometimes you can bundle and save a little money there. Another one, I was once with a telephone company, but I can say this now, get rid of your landline. Right, just use your cell phone. And I did that. I've already done that. For many people, the landline is no longer necessary. Maybe if you have a fax machine in your home or something, but otherwise, or if you have DSL, you could even get DSL now from the phone company without having a landline. You can get it separately. So cut back on your phone bill with unnecessary things. If you don't need caller ID, don't get it. Call waiting if you don't need it. You know, I've got call waiting, but I never use it. I never break a call to get on another one unless I think it's really, really important. Another thing is the carpool. Brown bag, that would be taking your lunch to work instead of going out. That can really save you some money, and you can put together some better snacks and meals by doing it at home. Drive at a steady speed to save on gas. And there's no need to gun the engine, pulling away from the stoplights, as so many whales do. And, of course, as always, look both ways at that pedestrian crosswalk before taking off from a stoplight. Let me ask before we move on, before I send it back to Susie, that's just a few ideas. So does anybody have any ideas or any comments on those thoughts? Does anybody carpool? Most of us, I think large cities, a lot of people carpool. It doesn't happen around here too much. We love our cars in the South. Or does anybody brown bag? And is that something new for you? Any other comments out there? This is KJ4 WKD. Open it up.
Yeah, Jim, I'd like to make a comment about the phone company.
Well, as I said, George, I don't work for the phone company anymore. They downsized me, so I don't care what you say about them. So you come aboard, sir, and spout off about the phone company. KW4 Lima Charlie Bravo, this is KJ4 WKD. Open it for you.
Well, Jim, I believe you'd know I'd say it anyways, even if you was with a phone company or not. But there's a whole lot of hidden charges in your bills nowadays. People's being charged for calls they didn't make. Katie went around with them today over a $3 charge, they tried to get us with. We told them we wasn't interested in their internet service. We wasn't interested in none of their data services. And, and that was 3 months ago. And every once in a while, they'll try to slip a charge on us there. And as soon as we get the bill there, she's on the phone and, tell them to take it off, what can I say? In all your bills, your cable bills and things like that, you've got to really scrutinize what services you're getting and what are you paying for it. You read the bill, it says other fees. Well, they don't break it down and tell you what these other fees are. So you got to break them down and make them explain to you what's these other fees. So, that's what I had to say about that, sir. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Thanks, George. We had another station. I didn't copy the. I didn't copy that call sign, though. Could you come back again?
Breaker, breaker. This is KK4DZP. Am I hitting this repeater? Over.
I still don't copy your call sign, sir, but you're barely making the trip. Try once more for us.
This is Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta, Zulu, Papa, hailing from Beverly Hills, Florida in Citrus County. Am I hitting the repeater?
Yes, sir. We don't have a good copy, but we copy. Go ahead, sir, in Florida.
Yes, sir. My name is Dave, Kilo Kilo 4, Delta Zulu Papa. I'd like to QSO with you. What repeater or where am I reaching to? Over.
Okay, this is the STARS server. We have a HeavenNet in progress. It's called our TNT Open Forum that we do on Thursday nights. And we're winding down a net about frugal living. And it's sort of a rag chew. And a number of us have shared tips and ideas about how to live more cheaply. And that's what we're talking about. So, and you are certainly free to come in and share anything that you might have or ask any questions or give us any comments. KJ4WKD, back to, well, still don't have it, but back to you, sir.
Real good, sir, real good. I must be hitting a repeater into Echo Link. I'm on a 2-meter band right now. I think I'm hitting some skip. But again, I'm not sure what where the QST is to this call. Over, Kilo, Kilo 4, Delta Zulu Papa, over.
I believe you're coming through. Let me bring George back if he's still there to verify, but I believe you are coming through his repeater or his link. No, his repeater. That would be KW4LCB, and you are hitting Echo Link. That's where that repeater is presently connected to. George, KW4 Lima Charlie Bravo, can you, is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct, Jim. Kilo Kilo 4 Delta Zanzibar Papa, this is KW4 Lima Charlie Bravo. You are coming on the 147045 repeater here in Orange City, Florida, which is about 25 miles west of Daytona Beach in Volusia County. QSL, what was the name on this end? This is George, Golf Echo Oscar Romeo, Golf Echo.
Good evening, George. Kilo Kilo 4, Delta Zulu Papa. I have the lodge contact time on at 117 Zulu. I am in Beverly Hills, Florida, Citrus County, located about 30 to 35 miles southwest of Ocala, which is in Marion County, so I am to the west of you guys. I'm going to put us up on the QRZ and see exactly how far I am to your call sign. But Beverly Hills is in Citrus County, Florida, and I'm going directly into your repeater. Over.
Yeah, QSL, like Jim mentioned to you, KJ4WKD, we are connected to the SCAR server, Echo Link. We are connected 24/7, and right now we're having a net, a little what we call TNT get together. So with that, I will say when you say break or break, that is emergency language. You know, it's used in emergencies only there. So I think before you use a break again there. QSL?
Affirmative, George. Affirmative, KW4LCB. I'm a fairly new ham. I just got my ticket on the 7th of September. I just recently set my station up, so I'm still learning lingo and language here. I do apologize for the false emergency. There is absolutely no emergency on my end. I do apologize. I was just excited to hit a 70-mile contact on 2 meters off of a vertical antenna. Over.
Well, you are picking up pretty good now, good clear modulation. If you get the chance, jump on the computer and type in VOIP, vote.southcars.com, and you'll get an idea of what we're all about. We hold quite a few nets throughout the week, have three going on Saturdays and Sundays, so please stop by either through the Echo Link or as long as you can hit it RF, a welcome to the group. With that, we'll say a top of the evening to you. You have a fine evening there, and If there's nothing else, we'll let the net roll on. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo, and thanks, Jim, and everyone else for standing by.
Thanks, George, and thanks, Dave. We're glad to have you, sir. Come back anytime and join us. You are making the trip 70 miles, so that's great on 2 meters. With that, I think it's back to Susie at net control. And I believe it's her turn. I was asking for further comments on some of the topics that I threw out and anything that we've covered earlier. So let's do that, and then we'll turn it back to Susan. We'll start winding down the program tonight. KJ4, WKD, any comments from the floor? Okay, hearing none. Susie, take it back away. And take us on home, I guess, if you like. Back to you. Back to N1SUZ. This is KJ4 WKD.
Oh, very good, Jim. This is N1SUZ, and thank you very much. And yes, we are winding down. And before I go on, let me just welcome David, KK4 DZP, to the net tonight. And please stop by any Thursday night, and we're here all day Saturday and Sunday mornings too. So feel free to come by and share what you would like to talk about in your comments. And in fact, you can share anything tonight if you're still going to hang around a little bit. But the topic tonight is frugal living, and it's 23 minutes past the hour, and we've had a great discussion tonight with everybody joining in. And so let me just throw out a few more energy-saving tips for our frugal living. Let's get energy smart. Let's turn the water heater temperature down a little bit. Let's check the furnace filter to make sure it's clean. This way it will run more smoothly and efficiently. How about installing a programmable thermostat? Set it to low setting when no one else is home. And you can always turn it up when you get home. Turn your lights off when they're not in use. That's a big one. And we do that at work as well. Unplug those power cords when you're not charging whatever. Power cord plugged in still uses energy. So that's about it for what I have for little tips here. Let me make a call out for more frugal tips from the audience. Do we have anyone who'd like to share a tip? Come aboard now. Okay, I guess we're winding down here, and George did have a comment. He said he turns the AC off. And I did that as well tonight. It's supposed to be in the 40s here in Connecticut. And you need your heat. Yeah, it's we'll probably be turning the heater on. But BJ needed the air conditioning because of his condition, his breathing condition. But we turned it off because it's pretty cold here tonight. Well, Jim, I think we've shown that we can save money by being frugal and not necessarily having to go without. What do you think? Let me send it back for you for any final comments from you.
Well, yes, excuse me. Yes, you have shown that we can save money. Some of these things I should do and don't, like the wall warts. They're plugged in all the time, you know, and I plug what I want to charge into them and just keep them there. And that's I've heard that, and I've been told it may not mean much, but over a year's time, you can you're using electricity. And with that, of course, we'll open it for more comments. But I want to thank you for putting all of this information together. It's been a great net. I want to thank George and Ted and of course Dave. Maybe we can get Dave to become a member. Should have done that already, but we can. Hopefully, he's good on QRZ, and we can email him on that. And you've got his call sign, so we'll take it from there. But thank you, Susie. You did a wonderful job tonight, as usual, and a wonderful night in organizing the net and putting this all together for us. It's been a good one. And I'll send it back to you and say 88. And good night from KJ4 WKD.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. And thank you as well, because you're a big help in getting all this information organized. And thank you very much for being here with me as well. So let me send it back out to the audience. to see if we have any more tips, comments, anything else we'd like to talk about frugal living. It's 26 minutes past the hour, and we're winding down our frugal living TNT tonight. Any comments? Come on aboard.
Well, I have one more, Susie, and I'll hush my mouth.
Well, George, you don't have to hush your mouth, because we love hearing you, and you always have a lot to offer us. And we thank you for being here, too, with us tonight. So let me send it to you, George. This is N1SGZ to KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo.
Well, I was told a long time ago, Susie, that make sure what you really want, because you can only spend your money once, you know. So with that philosophy, I don't require a whole bunch to sustain me. I get by with less than most folks, but you know, it's like this program is like just finding ways to learn to do things for yourself. People have become more and more dependent on others to supply their needs and do things for them, and I feel we just got to learn to do more for ourselves, and there's a whole lot of great people out there would give the time and information to you. All you just need to do is jump out there and ask. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, have enjoyed it. A pleasant evening to you and everyone connected tonight. Until the next time, KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Well, thank you, George, and you're absolutely right. We need to learn how to live with within our means and sometimes without a lot in order to get ahead. And that's what this is about tonight, sharing ideas on how to do that, and that's the best way, because if I don't know something, you'll know something, and we can all survive and thrive by helping each other out. And I want to thank you. So let me send it one more time out to the net to see if anybody else would like to make any comments, and then we'll go from there. This is N1SUZ, and opening the floor for any comments. All right, I guess everybody's winding down tonight. It's 29 minutes past the hour, and I guess we'll close the net tonight. And I want to thank everybody who joined in on the conversation, George and Ted and Dennis and everybody else who shared some tips with us and comments. I've learned a lot tonight, and I just want to thank everybody and thank Jim, who helped me out as my co-host and also to help me put this program together. So thanks, Jim, KJ4WKD, for being there for me. So this has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the VOIP.southcars.com website. Your net control for the session has been Jim, KJ4WKD, and Suzanne, myself, N1SUZ, and we are saying 73s and closing this VOIP session. And I want to thank everybody for their participation, and come back next Thursday for our next net. Thanks very much. This net is officially closed.
KJ4WKD with a final announcement or comment. Susie, next week we will change the time of the open forum, the TNT open forum. And it will go from 8 o'clock Eastern Time, p.m. Eastern Time start time, to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That would be, we're moving from 0000 Zulu to 2300 Zulu next week, next Thursday, the 22nd. So keep that in mind and be here at 7 o'clock, and you have a great one coming up next week. So everyone, please take note of that new time next week. KJ4WKD, clear and QRT.
Thanks, Jim. This is N1SUZ. I forgot all about that, and I forgot to let everybody know that. So thanks for covering my back tonight. This is N1SUZ, and I will be QRT as well.
Jim, KW4WKD, 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, QSL?
That's a QSL, George. 8 o'clock it remains in effect for the Saturday AM connection, and all of the other nets from Saturday and Sunday. This only one that's changing the time will be the TNT for now. The change in the nets, the Saturday AM connection, would be that we're going to run them HF style. We're going to let stations come aboard rather than calling the list. Unless we don't have a lot of check-ins, then we'll use the list. We'll resort back to the list. But that's what's on the agenda, so it should make it easier for you and me. You have the 8 o'clock hour, and I have the 9 o'clock hour. So that's the way, if it's okay with you, that's the way we'll do it, sir. Over.
Yes, sir. I copied the email there and was abreast of ATF a call out, and sounds good to me. And one thing, Jim, I didn't tell you about, you know, every once in a while you get some two-legged pests, you know, especially if you got a nice watermelon patch going there. And just early one morning when the dew is still on the melons there, just go ahead and cover them up with flowers there and put your big old sign, bug problems, poison. And you won't have nobody taking your melons from you no more. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
I know all about that, George. I might have been one of those two-legged pests as a teenager at one time. I might have been, but I wouldn't admit to that. And I understand, you might know about this, that rock salt in a shotgun shell works pretty well, too, if you get far enough away. So you won't really injure anyone too badly. But I've heard of farmers taking care of those pests like that. So back to you, KJ4WK.
I hear you, bud, but nowadays you can't do that rock salt. But another thing I have learned, you can get you five or six onions, and well, you don't have to take the peelings off of them if you don't want to, but stick them in the blender and just juice them up and put them in a gallon of water, or, you know, and stir it up there, and if you want to strain it, you know, you can do it so it don't clog the tip of your sprayer up, but it will keep the bugs off too. If you got a problem with old ground moles, which we got around here, just bury your speaker in the ground and start playing some rock music or heavy metal music, and after 3 or 4 days, you'll notice there'll be less and less of them now. KW4, Lima, Charlie, Bravo, yeah, we did just get in the house when the net had started, and I just came up here and hadn't seen Miss Katie or heard from her since, so we best go down there and see how everything is going on. Enjoyed it. Take care, my friend, and look to catch up with you Saturday morning there. KW4, Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Thanks as always, George. It's always great when you're in any of the nets. I love it. I love it. And you need to write a book on all those tips. Write them down, and maybe we can all get together and publish a book for you, because you're full of them. And I like sitting down with old people, too, and I've done that many times. And I learned a lot from my grandmother, especially about gardening. She was a little farm girl from South Carolina. So I'll let you go down there and get with Katie, and I need to get off here. So, again, I'm clear and going QRT. This is KJ4WKD. Over and out.